And we're back. Welcome to No Direction Beyond, the Starfinder news, reviews, and interviews podcast. I'm your host, Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param.
I'm Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer.
Hi, and I'm James. I write Code Switch.
Excellent. And today's episode, we are here to talk about one of Starfinder's most infamous and advertised and promoted classes, the Technomancer. James,
the strobe lights.
What do you think about what is the quick sales pitch of a Technomancer? What does it mean?
Well, I mean, the sales pitch was the wizard in space, but it really is more just like your techno hacker that actually has to have some magical aptitude. It's kind of like Harry Potter meets IT, but in a really cool way.
Indeed, it is Starfinder's only arcane spellcaster. And before we get into the nitty-gritty and start arguing about it, let's go through its basic spine.
No, let's argue about it now. There are no arcane spellcasters in Starfinder.
Oh!
They're just all spellcasters. Take that, Param.
All right, everybody. So the Technomancer has 5 stamina and 5 hit points per level. Its key ability score is intelligence. Its class skills are computers, physical science, engineering, piloting, life science, profession, mysticism, sleight of hand. It has 4 plus intelligence rank modifier. Is proficient with light armor, basic melee weapons, and small arms. Which makes this the most castery caster that Starfinder has. Low hit points, not very much proficiency, and magic.
But it is proficient with basic melee weapons, so you're supposed to give it a sword.
Yeah. You could totally give this thing a sword and die very quickly.
It has the lowest base stamina and hit points out of any class. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't listen to James.
Just
James
do it right the first time. Dead.
No, don't listen. He just wants you dead. Remember.
Now that said,
James tells you to do something, 9 out of 10 times it's going to kill you.
Now that said, the Technomancer is an incredibly important class to Starfinder because it was supposed to represent what the game is. It is a science fantasy class for their science fantasy game. This is the computer hacker who can also fireball you, except he can't actually fireball you, or she can't actually fireball you in the case because the iconic is female for this class.
Why can't they fireball you?
Because they throw batteries instead.
I mean, that's a fireball for me. Have you ever been hit by battery acid? That stuff burns.
Yeah, ask all those people with the scorched crotches from those laptops where their battery exploded. That's a fireball.
That might even be a fireballs.
Right. The basic features of the Technomancer, the main feature is that you get spells chosen from the Technomancer spell list. One of the 2 spell lists in Starfinder. The other, of course, being the Mystic. You also get what is called a spell cache, which doubles as your Technomancer's computer, and you can upgrade it. But it also will, you can use it to cast any one spell you know once per day as if you had a slot for it, even though you don't.
It's like Arcane Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Indeed. It's like Arcane Bond, except you do not have the option to turn it into a bunny rabbit.
Yeah, which is probably for the best. We talked about it somewhere, but like familiars are really crazy strong.
Yeah. Familiars.
That was last time, wasn't it? When we talked about the mechanic, we were mentioning familiars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The other key thing they have is they have what is called magical hacks, which for Pathfinder, these would be almost like metamagic, where you get the ability to alter how your spellcasting works as an ability. You start getting it second level, and then you get one every 3 levels thereafter. So you're going to get a lot of these. And they do offer some rather powerful effects to the spells. That is a spontaneous spellcaster and only 6 levels of spellcasting. Both of the spellcasters in the Starfinder core rulebook are like that. There is no, as least right now, officially released first party prepared spellcasters. Though we've already talked about Starfarers and other books that have gone through to add prepared spellcasting back. But
I was just thinking, you put a lot of qualifiers on that sentence.
Yeah. I do not want to dismiss the efforts of third-party publishing. I know it's all too easy for people to do that, and I know you hear it frequently. Well, I want something that does this. Well, here's a really ridiculously well-produced third-party product that does that. Oh, but I meant that Paizo made it. And I'm like, well, the people that work at Paizo helped write this. No. It has to be with the Paizo logo right on it. And I'm like, you know, some of this stuff is produced at the highest quality that easily matches Paizo's quality if you go for the right publishers and the right products. And I just don't want to dismiss those efforts.
I think it's fair when you're somebody who like wants to play Starfinder or Pathfinder Society, though. Like,
that is the kicker.
Yeah, like if you're like, this is a Starfinder Society build, and you're like, my condolences.
Yeah, well, if it's Starfinder Society, you just got to go with the core. And of course, Starfinder's got very limited options available to you there. We'll be talking about them throughout the episode. You're also the only one of the only two classes that don't normally, you get spell focus. You do get weapon specialization like most other classes, but instead you also get spell focus to sort of power up your spells, which is basically like spell focus in Pathfinder, where it increases the DCs of your spells, and it does increase as you level up. Mm-hmm. You don't have to keep taking greater spell focus and elemental focus. Well,
The math of spell focus is kind of designed so that the saving throw bonuses that you get in from translated from Pathfinder in 3.5 into Starfinder, like, they still work, because in Pathfinder, if you have a 6 level spellcasting class, anything that you can get to raise the DCs pretty much is something that both 6th level and 9th level have. So, like, if you're a wizard, your DCs are going to be better if you take the same options as a 6th level class. And spell focused in Starfinder gives you more boost, because it's almost like pushing your DCs up from what a 6th level spellcaster would be to, like, a 9th level in Pathfinder. So it's kind of more like a mathy sort of bonus, and it's super helpful that the Technomancer gets it for free. The Mystic doesn't get that. They have to spend a feat on it.
Right. Which is another reason that if you're trying to build a damage caster in, say, Pathfinder, you learn very quickly to try to go for touch spells over save spells, because it means less of a chance that you're going to deal half damage in the game. Whereas in Starfinder, there's not a ton of those touch spells, and so you're going to be leaning a lot more heavily on your spell DCs.
Yeah. The spells that you do get, they don't scale up as fast. So, like, the fact that there's, like, a couple low-level touches, there's not many higher-level ones, and you're not going to want to bring the first-level touch spell to, like, a 12th-level game, because your monster's going to laugh at the 2d6 shock damage or whatever.
Right. This is a class that you do get the option with your spell casting where you can swap your spell, one spell, every time you level up. You're going to be doing that a lot with this class. Mm-hmm. And you also get a special ability called Tech Lore, which is a +1 increasing insight bonus to computers and mysticism. It starts at +1 at level 3 and then increases every 3 levels thereafter. Which is, you know, like we talked about with the mechanic, it's able to basically kind of keep up with the operative and the mechanic on similar skills, thanks to that. And you get a couple of pseudo capstone abilities at the end, the most useful of which, or the most awe-inspiring of it, is that you can fuse your top-level spell slots together at 20th level to cast Wish, which is the way that they have managed to hack in all of the possible magical effects that they want to bring into the game, because if nothing else, they can say a Technomancer wished it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so that is the intro to the class. Let's give your thoughts. Let's start with Alex this time. Alex, what do you think of our Technomancer here?
Meh.
Meh?
Meh.
Meh. All right, so why is it meh?
I'm glad we're a bunch of sheeps.
I don't know. It doesn't really impress me. I think that it lacks a lot of the flair of the Mystic. I think the Mystic generally has more interesting spells, and I don't know. I don't really care for it. You know what? One thing that, like, The other thing you didn't mention about the progression is that the Technomancer is the only class in Starfinder currently that has levels where you don't get new class features.
Yes.
At 4th, 7th, 10th, every 3 after, you don't get anything. Your new class feature is the fact that you can cast a new level of spells. Mm-hmm. And that would be great if Technomancer spells were balanced at a higher curve than Mystic spells, but they're really not. The focus for the two classes differs. Mystic tend to be better at crowd control, and they tend to be better at buffing and healing and whatnot, mm-hmm. where the Technomancer gets a lot more like the creating stuff and the dealing damage. But the spells that exist really aren't that good, and if they were really good, then you would have to take those spells at certain levels, which would make the class mm-hmm. less interesting. I kind of feel like those levels being blank take away some of a potential interesting thing that maybe this class could have gotten. I don't know. I just look at it and like I see like, oh, look, there's some cool things. It's never really impressed me. Maybe if it had more spells per day than the Mystic, I would feel differently, but it doesn't.
James, what are your thoughts on the Mystic?
Your new Technomancer.
Or sorry, the Technomancer.
Yeah, not the Mystic, the Technomancer.
We will get to Mystic.
Yeah. the Technomancer's array of stuff does have dead levels. It does remind me a bit of more closer to Magus, which I think helps conceptualize it away from that whole wizard thing where you're just supposed to be back there blasting spells. I appreciate that it has the ability to use weapons, because, man, weapons are cheap in Starfinder, and they're relatively effective, and a lot of your magical hacks work off those. It's really niche, but there's niche. Sorry, that's the word. But there's an light novel anime series called Irregular Magic High School, which is basically what Technomancers
are.
Yeah,
I love that anime.
Yeah, where they're combat soldiers that use where magic is basically math, and it's just how fast you can do the math to get the thing to happen. And yeah, so like ancient magic takes a long time because scrolls are bad at math or whatever, but it's really powerful. So, you know, there's still that esotericism there, but there's that hard science bit there. And I think this captures that, where there's that little esotericness, like they can immediately, as a full round action, they can pick up spell gems, find what's in them. They're good at figuring out what magical things are. They can still hack in the computers. They're kind of in between both worlds. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to combat, sometimes you can feel a little out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
I think you were right when you mentioned that it was closer to the Magus. If you're running, I think a lot of what was pitched and a lot of what was assumed but leading up to the launch of Starfinder was that this was going to be your space wizard and Mystic was going to be your space cleric. And really, Mystic is more your space wizard and or space cleric than the Technomancer is. It really, if you want the IEM, the manipulator of magical arcana and mystery, Mystic fills both of those roles. And you're right, this is a more of a Magus-y with a little sprinkling of Bard on top because of all the illusion spells and the buff abilities it gets. And less of, like, you will not have a fun time with this if you're just trying to make a wizard using this as a template. There's some ways to like take some of those magical hacks and really force it, but you're going to always feel a little bit behind if you don't just embrace the tech angle and the fact that you do have this almost unparalleled manipulation of technology. It is, if you factor in and take the tech spells, you can do crazy things with technology with this class and really feel like the hacker you are.
You could do things you think the mechanic should be able to do, like
Look, I'm just going to create any single, like, that's one of my, you can fab one of the spells. Okay, we can't really talk about a spell caster primary class if we're not talking about the spells. And the Technomancer spells are, like Alex said, first and foremost, they have a lot of damage spells. Almost all of their damage spells also have a rider. So, like a debuff effect that sort of makes up for the fact that they can't really... When you're casting your top-level spell slots, you can keep up with the big boys on damage, but you're going to have very limited number of those. Mm-hmm. And then when you're downslotting, you're going to be keeping up with like the second stringers, the mechanic and the others. That's where your damage is going to be, unless you go with one of the builds I'm going to suggest later. But you also have a whole lot of technological hacking spells. You can make people's gear just stop working. You can make their gear explode, and that is fun. You also have the ability to control robots and technology and computers, all that sort of stuff. And you can summon up your own robots. And you have a spell that lets you just create any piece of technology that you want right now, which is kind of what I wish the mechanic had. That ability, it really could have really helped the mechanic feel it.
Technomancer actually gets that in a couple places. They get a fabricate tech spell-like ability as a magic hack, too, where they can just be like, full on action, it's made.
Yeah, create junk bot, and now you're summoned monster, you can take robot monsters.
The only thing I wish is that, I wish that when the Technomancer made, armor, they could pick an ally and be like, the armor is on that person. And then, flies over and armors them up like some kind of Sentai character, you know? That'd be really fun. One of the things that's interesting about the Technomancer is that metamagic is basically the Technomancer's thing as spell hacks. In Pathfinder, anybody can take a metamagic spell or ability, but in Starfinder, they've all been basically, the core ones at least, have all been basically turned into magic hacks. This has pros and cons. As a con, if you are a mystic and you want a metamagic spell, well, you are out of luck unless you want to dip levels into Technomancer, which technically you can. I think there might be a rule that says that if that class features only to spells only apply to that class's spells, but at the same time, a lot of them are worded to just generally say spell. So maybe it's like Blood Island Arcana and it hits everything. I don't know. Maybe we'll get an FAQ about it someday. But regardless, a lot of those types of metamagic feats have even been rebalanced so that they come at earlier online at earlier levels. A great example is selective targeting, which is basically the selective spell metamagic feat. You get that at level 2 instead of needing 10 ranks in spellcraft for it in Pathfinder.
I know, man. That's nuts.
You just see it and you're like, oh, I can throw fireballs. And the best part is it doesn't cost you anything to use most of these. You just put them on, and then usually there's a resolve point rider where you can further empower the effect by spending one of your resolve points, which is fine because most of the Technomancer's class features don't care about resolve points. It's not like you're a soldier and every other ability you get from one of your fighting styles is a resolve point spender. You're just like, yes, select them out.
Which has left me to an interesting situation since you mentioned the selective targeting, where as a GM, I had to, in a very nervous spot, determine whether or not the party's Technomancer could declare the engine's core as an ally for their spell.
No, blow up everything around the engine, but not the core.
Did he ask it?
Well, it wasn't a society game, so I just let it slide.
One thing that I think is really cool that they get is the counter tech magic hack, where you're like, hey, I got hit by a gun, break it. Yeah, it's really fun. You just counter it. It just doesn't work.
They have so many abilities that just shut down tech, and that does lead this into a situation where if you're not in a heavily tech campaign, it kind of hurts, kind of like the mechanic. You could build around that, but you're just basically going to have to be relying on not your manipulating tech angle, which is pretty much the best part of your class.
I kind of think that if you grab a spell or two at every spell level that doesn't care about technology, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
At first level, please take magic missiles. That spell is amazing.
It really is. And it stays relevant even when you're casting second level spells as long as you full round cast it and take harmful spells.
Yeah, harmful spells keeps a lot of it's a great magic hack that's kind of like the weapon specialization, but for Technomancer spells. It keeps a lot of spells relevant well beyond what they would normally be. And they have a lot of cool magic hacks. Honestly, though, that comes to one of the things I'm not crazy about this class. There are so many cool magic hacks, and you only get, a handful. You get one at second and every 3 levels thereafter. Mm-hmm. So, compared to every other class, which has a class feature at every even level that you get cool stuff from, the Technomancer kind of feels, starved. They have all of these cool powers, yet they have such a small list of powers they can actually pick from at a given time.
Yeah, you only get a total of 6, and they're from the pool. There's like 2nd level pool, 5th level pool, and 8th level pool. So there's 5 different pools to pick from.
Yeah.
And you only get 6. So if there's 2 in the same level bracket, that means you're giving up a higher level one.
And that's kind of the one thing that drives me kind of about this class. I wish that they had gone and made magic hacks every even level. And I mean, that would even clean up the archetype rules for this class. This class has really complicated archetype rules because of all the dead levels it has. And because like at 9th level, you don't even get a class feature. So like you have nothing to trade. Same at 4th level. Those are all archetype breakpoint point levels. I don't think this class would have been made super powerful if it had that, or maybe if it was like an envoy and you had like one pool of magic hacks and then like one pool of something else that like was all the, like one pool was all the meta magic stuff and then another pool was all of the cool utilitary things. I don't know. So like I think it's a cool class, but I think that it feels very bare. It feels very conservative in the sense that I think that when it was being designed, there was a lot of worry that it would turn into the Pathfinder Wizard. And so they tried to keep it contained. And I think that kind of shows in its design. But that's just my opinion on it. I can't say whether or not that's true. I don't know. But
I definitely think that with this and the Mystic, they were definitely trying to not have the problem that the 3E era had, or the perceived problem, where the spellcasters just dwarfed everything. That shows in the fact that they're not prepared, because we've discussed before, prepared is almost always better than spontaneous.
It's better mechanically, but in terms of balance, spontaneous is better, which is likely why spontaneous was chosen.
Well, what I'm saying is it's better if you want to be more powerful, which is...
Yeah.
It also only has 6 levels of spellcasting. There's not 9 levels of spellcasting in Starfinder. And that's very felt, because you have to readjust your expectations on spell power. Now, thankfully, they did what they do with a lot of these 6-level spellcasting classes and made their list so that you would get these abilities about when you would get them if you were a 9th-level spellcaster for some of the spells. And I think it's something that's going to become less and less of a problem as more product is released. And we can see that very distinctively with just the Alien Archive, because the addition of Summon Monster to its spell list made this class significantly better compared to where it was without Summon Monster. Being able to put a powerful second ally on the field that absorbs damage, helps with the party's action economy, and also helps with just blocking off and positioning, is incredibly powerful ability. And so just by
not only that, but if you take Summon Monster, you can summon robots and then use all your cool robot spells on the things you summon, which is pretty cool.
I mean, like, there is the dead levels. I'm a fan of sparsity causing new things to come out. So like, if you had a lot of choices, there's kind of two ways this goes. If you have a lot of open spaces, people are willing to throw one at something that seems a little weird. Or you go the other way, where it's like, if you want to go a certain way, you only have so many ways to make it happen, so you have to choose those different ways than otherwise. It's not a perfect way to get to either, like, different build paths, but I think it encourages you to be really selective with your choices. And that may make you choose the most relatively most useful general vanilla option. But I think if you use those choices on really weird niche hacks, you could come up with some very unique Technomancers.
Do you know what would have been really cool? If this class had the ability where they picked, like, you know the adaptive fighting feat in this book, where you pick 3 combat feats and then you use a move action to gain one? I feel like this would have been a really cool class if, in addition to what it had almost like a pool of floater magic hacks that it could have been like, all right, I'm going to spend a resolve point and get this magic hack for like 10 minutes because I need this one right now. I'm hacking my own magic hacks.
I
think that would really help a lot of this sort of like lack of choice that's in this class, because I definitely think that When you're only when you have so many lists and you have so many options, like Param said, there's a very like straightforward. This is how you build this class, and I think that giving it a little more flexibility would have been nice. But I don't think it's a bad class. I think that it works. It's hard to make a spellcasting class that's truly terrible, to be honest.
There's always a spell that makes it worth it at that level. And that's true with the Technomancer. They always have some good spells.
I think the Technomancer benefits heavily from the existence of the variable level spellcasting rules, where you can be like, hey, I have this spell. I'm going to undercast it at these levels because it's better.
That is true, but the Mystic is the one that really benefits from that, because the Technomancer, there aren't a ton of those on his list, on her list. There's just a few. I heard you talking about that point earlier when we were talking about this class before, and so when I was reviewing the class, I intentionally went in to just sort of review that talking point, and it doesn't have very many of those variable level spells, except for Summon Monster, of course, that was introduced in Alien Archive. And I think as it gets more of those, it will definitely help the class a lot.
I definitely think this system benefits from the variable level rules. Definitely. Especially just because, like, you know, when you get more than two spell levels from your highest, those spells tend to taper off in usefulness, but one level below is usually still pretty good and relevant.
Yeah. So Sturdy Boy in chat mentions that every dead level is when you get a new level of spellcasting.
Yeah, Alex said that too.
Yeah, which is, and from talking with Alex, is not a class feature in itself.
No, it's not.
it's not a replacement for one.
It's considered a class feature in the sense that the spells are listed under class features, but like when you look at the actual table, spells are always their own category, and they're never listed as class features for whatever reason, probably organization.
And to be completely fair, the same holds true for Pathfinder classes. They usually do that, hold a class feature back when they get a spell level.
It's actually funny because you can see spells are kind of beholden from class feature rules because they're never alphabetized. Usually, most classes, if they have an ability that isn't spellcasting still comes first.
Yep. Well, it's so important. It defines the class more than any other feature.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I like that the even though it's Magus-like, the hacks don't feel exactly like Magus Arcana, where they do such a limited, narrow thing.
Oh,
some of them do, but they're also not as crazy specific as Arcane Discoveries.
Yes.
Which you see used very rarely, where they're like, hey, you can become a mummy, or never sleep. And it's like, wow, what is the disparity in these feats?
Never underestimate the ability to always talk to squirrels.
Right?
I mean, there's an entire comic book hero about that. I agree. Actually, in our Strange Aeons game, Olivia just took the one that lets her unbar one of her schools. So, like, they've definitely range in power. Mm-hmm. I think the power in the Technomancer abilities is a little bit more streamlined than Arcane Discoveries, which tend to not have much.
They tend to be really varied. And they tend to be, I think, better than the Magus Arcanas in general.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. They're so good that it leads me back to Alex's point. I wish I had more of them when I built the. But it does force you to pick a build with this class and pick a focus. And really, there are three focuses you can do with this class. And those focus on the obvious: I cast damaging spells. That's one of the focuses for this class. You take harmful spells, you pick a bunch of damage spells, you take, you get spell focus for free, and you just go to town.
You immediately messed up. You missed spell grenade.
You did.
Spell grenade is later.
Spell grenade is great, though. You talk about that first.
Right.
Yeah.
But you get... I only talked about the stuff you get at first and second level.
All right. Were you going to say spell grenade next?
Yes, of course you need spell grenade.
All right, continue. Explain spell grenade.
Okay, when you spend one resolve point with a range of touch and cast a spell with a range of touch in a grenade, you can throw that sucker, and anybody that gets caught in that grenade blast gets the spell.
Yeah, shocking grasp, fireball shocking hand spells.
Mm-hmm.
So good, vampiric touch.
The other obvious build with the class is to go really deep into the I'm a stealthy roguey hacker type, and you take a lot of the stealth spells, you take a lot of the subversion hacking abilities with your magic hacks. That's when you want to start using counter tech. That's when you want to use charging vault. That is when you want to use flash teleport. That's when you want
magic, to magic negation.
Magic negation. And then you can have haste and invisibility, and you can create holograms, and you just go into the I'm a sneaky, I'm going to divert and distract and crowd control and just break into anything hacker. And you can live the dream of the super hacker with the Technomancer on that path. And the third obvious path with the Technomancer is when you go, I really am Space Magus. And you take long arm proficiency and weapon specialization long arms, and then you take empowered weapon and a bunch of the spells that buff your equipment, and you just start going to town with your weapons.
Can we take a moment to appreciate how much better empower weapon is than the mechanics charge weapon?
It kind of is.
Like, oh, I get, man, the mechanic one is free, but this is bonus is equal to your spell level as a move action. So you so at certain levels you negate your BAB to hit a normal BAB, and you're adding D6s per that.
Yeah. Also, not to negate Energize spell, which if you are feeling that you have too few spell slots, being able to just literally cast a spell by draining a battery is a very useful thing.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm kind of stunned that I'm not the one hating on the mechanic this episode.
No, I'm not hating on the mechanic. I'm heaping praise upon the Technomancer and its comparative mastery of mechanics when it doesn't have a
companion. I think you're hating on the mechanics.
Nah, I like the mechanic. You know my feeling on the mechanic.
I love the mechanic.
I may have chimed in just to make that joke. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry for my puns. I can't help it. I'm getting it checked.
You should go get them fixed.
No, not that.
So, where do you think that this class can really shine? Like, what obvious builds, what obvious options are just the way that you can really show off the power of this class?
So, this is the only class that can really hit AoE hard. Like, if you grab a soldier or a Solarian and give them a heavy weapon, they'll be okay. Man, oh man, do fireballs hit a lot harder than heavy weapons. Sure, there's a saving throw. Oh no, it's also way cheaper to throw a fireball. You're not spending like 10 charges of your weapons or ammunition or bullets. So definitely there's that niche they have. You're going to love your party Technomancer when you come into a robot and they just take them. It's like my robot now. That's just, again, a dominate construct. Enjoy. It's also pretty fun that they can take a magic hack to just be the supreme lord of robots, and all of their enchantment and mind affecting spells work on robots. I think that that Technomancers are also pretty great as long as they have a party that has a melee person willing to divert attention to them. I think that if you're a Technomancer and everybody has a gun and you're bringing out the big damage spells or the nasty debuffs, man oh man, you're going to get attacked by that sandworm first and go down.
Oh, you're going to go down hard.
Yeah, oh no, this is my experience. When Starfinder first came out, I played the iconic Technomancer in one of the quests, and surprise round, the worm comes up and attacks me first, and I'm done. I'm gone. I was like literally one hit point from being dead. Like, I was spending resolve points like mad, trying to not die. Thanks, Thirsty. Thank you.
I think the Technomancer also has another like stealth benefit. Yeah, their skill points are way more prevalent, and there's things that could be way better at skills. Because you're an int class and you get 4 skills per level, you're probably going to be diversifying across a bunch of skills. And a lot of them are actually class skills for you, like physical science, life science, mysticism, stuff that your party isn't necessarily going to have.
They have a really decent class skill array. That's 100% true. And you're probably going to be pumping int as your primary stat. Where, like, yeah, the mechanic pumps int too, but they have to worry about their other stats as well. I kind of think that more likely you're going to see some higher in technomancers than mechanics, just because the mechanic does have to think about, especially at low levels, they have to think about putting those points into strength and dex and constitution and not failing and that kind of thing.
And with skill points, it's just with things like the operative and the mechanic, they're going to immediately lose them to whatever their token skills are. Mm-hmm. Where the technomancer still can put them into their mysticism, which is once again a skill only the mystic I think has as a class skill or mm-hmm. has incentive to keep going into.
I think if you're a priest, you can pick a mystic as a mysticism as a class skill.
That too. But like your knowledge base is going to be very wide as opposed to an operatives or a mechanics.
Yeah. Definitely.
Sorry, Param, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, and I completely forgot what I was about to say, actually. But
I'm sorry.
Clearly, it was a memory lapse.
Going back to Alex's ability about the AoEs, one of the things I like about the AoEs that it does have is not only do they have that really high Nova damage that gets knocked out, but they almost always have a rider on it. Like, look at Force Blast. It's the second level. Never mind, that's a mystic one. I screwed up.
Oh, you know what's really funny? One of the things that make the Technomancer surprisingly decent is that in Pathfinder, Reflex is a very common good save. In Starfinder, Will and Fortitude are way more common. Like, if you think about the different classes, really only the mechanic and the operative get reflex. Everybody else is will, fortitude, and combinations. So, yeah, I think Envoy has reflex too, don't they? This is you're Envoy man. Do it.
I believe it's reflex and will for Envoy.
Yeah, but I think that generally the deck isn't stacked quite so high against reflex saves in Starfinder. So, you know, throwing out those fireballs, it's not like, oh, well, all of those guys are going to make their saving throw, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, because the only odd save that Starfinder has, I actually kind of pseudo-complained, even though it's not a super big deal, but this is one of the things that's going to hurt the Mystic when we talk about it, and somewhat the Technomancer is everybody but the Mechanic has goodwill saves, so it's sort of like Bizarro Universe to compare to Pathfinder, where the reflex saves are the ones you really should be targeting, not the... And that's just so not how it usually goes.
Yeah, it's funny. Even your fighter's good at will.
That is so weird.
Which you went over, you should, if you're fighting and seeing blood and guts and gore, your will's probably pretty good.
Or you're just dead inside.
Which would improve your will save, just
I
like
mean, undead. My soldier is dead inside. That's fair.
Man, I just love the summon monster spell. It's really cool.
Yeah. I'm hoping, I know that in the preview for Pact Worlds, they said there's all going to be a whole bunch of spells in that one, too. I'm hoping there's some pretty neat spells in that one.
Yeah, that's where I think my ultimate hope for this class lies. Like, I think it's good now. It's perfectly playable. You will be happy you have one at the table. Mm-hmm. But it looks like there definitely is room for more interesting feats. There's always room for spells. And it looks like they started off a little blah, because we're kind of spoiled, especially at this point, with how open Pathfinder spell casting is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, actually, that's a really good thing to talk about in terms of like a logistic reason why the Mechanic and the Technomancer probably aren't ninth level spellcasters. Man, oh man, there's no room in that book for another three levels of spells.
No. And I like the proportionness of it too. Mm-hmm. I
don't yeah.
And, yeah. And I this think is a problem that's just going to get solved as more books come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's anything inherent to this that just doesn't feel right, where the Mechanic, the Exocortex, feels like there probably needs to be more than just a couple more things added, maybe, you know, as opposed to the drone-carrying one, where it feels like it's pretty much at the right spot.
Yeah.
So, this feels like it's right at the right spot.
Yeah. And I think that this is definitely a class that's going to benefit from more products and more options. I think when people talk about the Operative being overpowered, I think the Operative just came with, like, several books worth of improvements in that one class. Like, it's just ahead of the curve. I don't think a whole lot of more exploits aren't going to make that class much stronger. But you know, but we got spells to look forward to. Tricks will definitely help the Mechanic. Totally.
Well, I'm definitely still in camp. The Operative is overpowered, but not to the extent that a lot of people are. I think it just is. Not that it's too good at what it does, it's just too good at too many things simultaneously.
We haven't reviewed the Operative yet, have we?
No.
I don't think we have, right?
It's going to be a fun episode.
I think if I remember our list right, I had different views on the Operative than you guys did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I liked the operative. Genzi was fun. I tripped a guy.
I love the operative. It's separate from my concerns for class balance and the game balance, though.
Yeah. Oh man, we're totally getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
We are. So really, we need to just like kind of wrap this up, because I think we've said everything we've got to say about the Technomancer. So let's just go with an improvised. How would you build your Technomancer? Starting with James.
I actually have one as my backup because I GM Starfinder and I need some place to put those chronicles. So I'm building a Technomancer based off May from Overwatch.
Oh my god!
Where she's a climate scientist, and I'm going to spec into cold magic, and spell grenade will be like her ultimate, where she throws a snowball and it freezes everything in a radius there. So that's what I'm working towards.
That's pretty cool. Is Wall of Ice in Starfinder? I don't remember. Can you throw Wall of Ice at people?
I would have to look at the spells. I've just been putting the things together because once again, Mitsuko Hane is my love, my first. So she's going to get all the attention. I'm just fixing this as a character to put the other Chronicles on, but I will play it.
It's like the opposite of your Pathfinder characters where Karig is dead.
Oh no, that first character's dead. He's dead and buried.
Yeah. No, there's only three wall spells in Starfinder. Wall of Fire, Wall of Force, and Wall of Steel.
Oh, there will be a way to change elements on spells a la Admixture Evocation School. Yeah,
or maybe they'll just make a Wall of Ice spell eventually.
Mm-hmm. No, that wouldn't make sense.
What?
Nothing. No. Sorry, Pathfinder is a wall of zombie spells. Never mind.
Pathfinder has a spell where it's a wall of light. That's literally the definition of not a wall.
How would you build your Technomancer, Alex, out of walls of light?
I think the gun Technomancer looks really cool, where you just make everybody's guns amazing and shoot people with those amazing guns. One of my favorite things that the class has is they can fabricate weapons and armor. And so you could be like, oh man, you know, I've put all of my money into this great long arm. I get all my bonuses with it. I took feats to get weapon specialization with it. Oh no, they're coming right for us. I need something. Full round action, create like a Gatling gun. And yeah, you don't get your weapon specialization to it for that one particular magic hack. But man, oh man, to make whatever gun you want and just have it is so cool. I love that one. And then there's just a lot of really silly weapon-based things. I think being a tech soldier is really cool.
I feel like Technomancers are like the new monks where you can't keep them in prison because they always have their weapons.
Yeah, you just make it. You're like, whoa, and boom, there's a weapon there. Or, you know, I think that, like, if you're going to make weapons out of thin air with, like, that spell, you got to take Summon Monster, and you got to summon the robot army. Like, if there aren't robot armies, you're not doing it right. That's just the fact. Sorry, guys, if you don't agree with me, but you got to have your magical robot army. Doesn't it sound like anime? Magical robot army.
Absolutely, sure. I have two Technomancers that I've built, one for home game and one for SFS. My home game one is built with the super spellcasty angle, the 18 intelligence right off the bat to try to get that up. For like just not even really caring about the decks, just barely keeping enough gun to gun. And then focusing on the damage spells and the debilitation spells and really leaning into the I'm a scientist, not a space marine type situation.
Says every scientist before he goes AWOL and or not AWOL. What is that word? Never mind. Killzary. Postal. That's the word.
I mean, Fritz said it in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then she went and infiltrated Hydra. So,
well, I mean, eventually I'm just going to get ticked off and just grab somebody's Duracell and Fritz, blow Simmons up half the lab. But of course, and then for my PFS or my SFS Technomancer, she's got leaning really heavy into the gun angle, long arm specializations, 16 dex int, focusing on empowered weapon, going to go for this the various shot hacks where you can cast your spells through your gun, especially when you can start ignoring things like walls in the way. Eventually
walls
hoping
are overrated, C. James.
Eventually hoping to go full sniper rifle so that you can put those really far downrange and that, just leaning really hard into the I am the Technomancer, and what that means is I have the best gun that has ever existed. Yeah. And when I don't have the best gun, I will make a gun out of thin air and just suddenly be very good at it and hit you with the best fake grenade launcher that all of these various Lego parts were able to make in a hurry.
Nice. I kind of think sniper rifles are overrated.
They are, but they're fun.
They're super cool. But, like, I have yet to see a game that really has ever operated at that long range. It's kind of why it doesn't matter that longbows have a 100-foot range.
There's only one game I can ever remember, especially in society, where any of that range ever mattered.
I can think of Destiny of the Sands 3. What are
you thinking of the same game?
Awesome.
Yeah, otherwise that was the only one. But if you're running your own stuff, especially spoilers, I guess, for the Starfinder Adventure Path, there are distances of that far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, you're telling me I got to buy a sniper rifle on Saturday, aren't you?
I'm giving spoilers for the book. It takes place in more than just 50 by 50 foot rooms.
Oh, God, no. How am I going to cope? My sword can't reach that far, James.
Walk.
1,000 feet is really far. That's more than a football field.
We did not discuss the role that the Technomancer can fill on starships.
Oh, they're really good at science officer.
Yeah, they're probably your best choice for science officer, hands down. They have piloting as a class skill, if you want them to be the pilot or a gunner. And since they can go into engineering, there's no reason they can't be your engineer if you spec in that direction with all the magical iHack technology things. So
yes,
it's actually the best. Is it really the best class for starshipping?
No, Envoy. I think
Envoy's not allowed to use their boost dice during starship combat, though.
Yeah, but they also have diplomacy as a thing that allows them to be captain as well.
Yeah, they cannot be captain.
Operative is better because they have that static plus one to all skills.
Yeah.
So unless you take weapon specialization or you take weapon focus. At an early level, at a skill that the operative doesn't have, and assuming you also have the scaling bonus, meaning that feat is going to irrelevate itself eventually. I don't think that's a word. I've looked it up. Is irrelevate a word? Anyway, make itself irrelevant. Then the operative is just going to win because they are able to fill any role and will have the best bonus. And, I mean, there are exceptions, but it's kind of just generally how it is. Even like the Technomancer might not be as good as an operative at the science role, just because the operative has that static bonus. Like, you would have to have an intelligence high enough to beat the operative's bonus plus their intelligence modifier, and the operative's probably going to have at least a 12 because of all the skills they have. Why not just have all of them?
I think Alex is really undercutting his operative isn't OP narrative right now.
I mean, they're OP at skills. I don't think they're OP in combat.
If you're an operative player, roll two dice at the same time. Always have one be your trick die. Just do it. That's just gameplay tips.
You heard James. He said it.
That's not a review. That's just gameplay tips.
I mean, Ryan did a big article about not making him roll two dice at the same time if he didn't want to.
He really hates that. I mean, we've had that discussion so many times. He really hates that. But if you want to see him really rant about why he hates that, the latest article.
This is just me. In the rules, it tells you to make the attack rolls one at a time. Mm-hmm. And also, I always kind of think that it's sort of when someone rolls like five attacks, kills a guy, and then is like, I'm going to allocate the attacks to that person. It's like, well, you already know what the numbers are. So, yeah, of course you're going to pick the guy who you think is the best chance of hitting. I don't know.
I think that
it opens itself to abusive play personally, but I don't really stop anybody from doing it at my tables. I don't care.
I don't like rolling all the attacks at once. I'll enjoy when they roll the attack and damage die simultaneously, since that's not going to change regardless of what happens.
Oh man, that kills me though. When it's like when you roll a critical hit and then you find out that they're immune to the critical hit, so like they have the thing that stops them, and you see that damage roll and what could have been, like, it hurts. Like, I would have rolled max damage had this 1d20 not.
That's not how crits work.
No, I'm talking about for regular damage for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's but yeah, it's just because as part of your attack with an operative, you just do a second part of it, and it's just, it speeds up the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for game speed.
I think one of the tricky things about that, I mean, we're talking about the operative now, which means we should probably stop, but yeah. I think one of the tricky things is that the DC for those things isn't ever really, like, displayed easily anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the GM has, it's like the faint DC. The GM has to come up with it every single time.
Oh, God, I hate the faint DCs. I hate
doing the faint DC, and I have to do it so often because now I have a faint specialist vermin hunter dwarf in my Reign of Winter campaign in Pathfinder. And I dread the craziness that they're going
it's
to do.
It's why you should just have a static formula and have the stat in the stat block, but yeah, whatever. It's too late for that. Everybody suffer as you must calculate skill DCs for all time.
I mean, you know what their bonus is. If they don't roll a 2, if they roll like a 5 or less, they do it. If they roll like a 15 or higher, that's probably good.
I think this is why everything should just be against CMD.
I mean, that would be great, but CMD isn't really on stat blocks anymore. So, same problem.
Yeah, and Starfinder, same thing. Yeah. I mean, you just have to know what things are +8, which is impossible.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a place where simplization took something and made it harder, because now you're requiring your GM to do one more bit of math to determine if that trip hit. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
And you can go fainting you can go with the fainting line and stuff like that with a technomancer if you'd like to trick them into shooting them better. It's relevant.
I'll take your word for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you guys remember fainting is a move action by default in Starfinder? Or is it still standard and you have to reduce it?
I believe it's a move. I would have to double check the rule book. I haven't seen any fainters yet.
Yeah, I don't have seen anybody that's bothered to do it.
Most of the classes that get fainting, I mean, like, I remember I tried in that one game we played with your Thunderdome. But I feel like for the most part, like, the only class that's really incentivized to faint is the Envoy, and the Envoy has, like, special actions that don't stack with Improved Faint, so I don't even remember if Improved Faint is in this book.
Yeah, Faint's a standard action.
Okay.
Which is a shame.
It is a shame.
Well,
but you do have Improved Faint. Yeah.
Well, I think it's time to about wrap this up. If you want to help out the show and the network, please remember to like, comment, subscribe, thumbs up, plus heart, whatever it is on whatever platform you manage to catch this on. Leaving us a review on iTunes is also incredibly helpful and raises the visibility of the podcast. We hope they're 5-star reviews, but be honest and, you know, tell us what you think. Also, you can get in touch with us anytime by going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/nodirection. You can reach us at nodirectionpodcast.com, and you can also reach us anytime here at Twitch, of course, at twitch.tv/nodirection. I forget what our Twitter thing is. I always forget what our Twitter thing is. But you can get on our Discord and talk with us 24/7. Well, we're not really up 24/7, but we are on there a lot.
I like sleep.
So you can talk with other fans and, of course, the entire network at our Discord. You can go to NoDirectionPodcast.com and click on the Discord link to join our Discord server. And if you have any questions, get them in to us at NoDirection@Hotmail.com. And finally...
Finally. I think Param's glitching.
Oh, that's okay. I don't know if we have any wrap-ups or shout-outs or anything. I mean, I'm going to Gen Con. I'll see you there.
Oh, Gen Con! I still don't know if I'm at Gen Con 100% yet.
I'm trying to set it up, too. I'm gonna sell my soul to Paizo again this year. It's going to be great. I'm really excited.
I'm going to do it for the first time ever. Sell your soul
to Paizo? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and me, Alex. High five.
Let's see. Put your soul up for auction. See if you can get some better bids.
My soul is dirty.
So no, the nice thing about it is, like, if you put your soul up for auction to, like, Daemons or Night Hags or whatever, they keep it and they take it on the spot and you're done. But if you sell your soul to Paizo just wants it for 4 days and then you leave with swag, so it's worth it. It's kind of like in Giant in the Playground, where, like, there's a plot point where a character is offered to, like, sell his soul, but he only has to sell it for the amount of time he benefits from, like, the thing he's getting. Same thing with Paizo. They can have 4 days of my soul, and I will be ragged and destroyed, and it's fine. When I am recovered, I'll have swag. All
right. Yeah, I do have a shout-out. Thank you for vamping there. In Philadelphia on February the 10th, it's a Saturday, Red Caps Corner is doing Eight Another, which is a game day mini-con for charity. They have the charity listed there. I just can't find what it is. It is for The Hactory, which is a nonprofit organization that provides space and resources to build and fabricate varieties for like kids and other camp groups and all that. Mm-hmm. So your donations all go to there.
Yeah, we got to raise those wee little technomancers.
Yeah, help raise the little baby. They need little soldering guns so they can get their spell cache made.
They do. also, if you go, James and I will be there. It'll be great. It'll be so much fun. You can hang out with us. You can talk awkwardly to us. You might even get to hear our voices. It'll be awesome.
Oh, you'll hear me. I'm loud as I'll get out.
I don't think you're as loud as you think you are.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you definitely don't shout, and you stop people from shouting at your table, so it works.
I do that. All right, I guess I'm not as loud as I think. Well, that was my shout out. You guys got anything?
I mean, no, not really. Nothing that I want to talk about.
All right, gang. We will be back in 2 weeks, so until next time, go beyond with no direction.